Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, we're joined by Nolan Keenan. Nolan's got a really interesting story and background, worked with Salesforce for many years in a range of different roles, ultimately up into a customer success director position. Since then, he's been delivering Salesforce projects, and he gives his views on the best methodology for Salesforce projects and delivery, life at Salesforce and working for the company itself, the way he's seen projects evolve over the years, a few different kind of top tips on what companies should do when they're preparing for a Salesforce project. Really, really interesting guy to talk to, has some really good views and opinions on lots of different things in the market, and I hope you enjoy the episode.
Nolan, thank you for joining us. So we've had a couple of chats recently, so I'm really excited to catch up today and run through your kind of history before Salesforce, your journey with Salesforce, and a couple of tips and tricks along the way. No trips, I hope.
No trips.
So we'll go through your Salesforce journey, but before that, I'd like to understand kind of your background before you got into this ecosystem and what you were doing.
Yeah, sure. So thanks for having me, by the way. So my background, depends how far back you want to go, actually. But I started my career in real estate.
Yeah.
And worked in that for about 5 years. Technology started at university in the mid-90s when I went back and did a degree at Bristol in systems analysis. And got into project management after that. I worked for a company called Logica. And worked all over Europe and Eastern Europe in telco. So I used to implement prepay and SMSC systems for the big mobile operators throughout Europe and Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And that was my first sort of work in technology and software delivery and project management.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, that's kind of developed into various themes, infrastructure delivery, data centers, and then obviously Salesforce later on, going sort of back into the software piece, I suppose, with that.
Sure.
So a bit of everything, really, in terms of delivery and professional services and consulting.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And you were delivering infrastructure projects just before moving into Salesforce. So that's quite a big leap in, or a change of environment, I guess. How did that come about?
Yeah, basically, I had delivered a major program for JP Morgan prior to Salesforce. And one of the reasons I was talking to Salesforce was to potentially manage their data center relocation from Singapore to Japan.
Sure.
And that was taking a bit of time to organize for Salesforce. There's quite a lot that goes into it, as
yeah.
you can probably imagine. So
yeah, sure.
I was offered a different role within Salesforce, which was the solution engagement director role. The beauty of that role, I suppose, when I look back, was that it brought together a lot of my experience through project management, delivery, professional services, implementation best practice, so on and so forth, and allowed me to use that knowledge and experience and wisdom to help customers or prospects understand how they could implement Salesforce very effectively and very efficiently.
Sure. So this was 2011?
This was mid-2011 I joined Salesforce. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And so you joined in that role. And how have things progressed in terms of the roles that you've played in the ecosystem?
Yeah, so, I mean, that role was 3.5 years, which was the implementation best practice. There was also a bit of human-centered design around that. Salesforce has something called Ignite, which is all around human-centered design and design thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved into a customer success role where I led a team of customer success managers and directors across ANZ initially, and then Asia, and then India.
Mm-hmm.
And since and that was for 3 years, and then I left Salesforce on my journey of discovery and worked for News Corp.
Yeah.
Set up their Salesforce Center of Excellence and associated program and partner structure. And then Ledless with a program director role for their customer digital transformation program, which is largely Salesforce.
Sure.
So over the last 8 years, those are predominantly the roles. But I suppose within those roles, there's been a lot of other roles kind of I've played as well.
Mm-hmm.
An example being with the first role at Salesforce, I'd sit on a lot of steer codes and act as a point of reference from a governance perspective.
Yep.
For a lot of customer steer codes.
Sure.
So there's always been sort of roles within roles.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Okay.
But those are the general ones.
Yeah, yeah. So you've seen, I guess, the good, the bad, and the ugly throughout the years, and I guess people can learn a lot from what you've kind of been privy to. So what, from a delivery perspective, I think like everyone's trying to do agile, and people kind of get it right, get it wrong. Is that, in your mind, the best way to deliver a project?
Well, I think for most Salesforce projects, agile is the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think there's many factors that will influence whether you fully utilize agile or whether it's a combination of wagile or fragile or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And, you know, the factors that determine this are really based on an organization's maturity and ability to, and their own team, and their ability to actually deliver and execute.
Sure.
And, you know, again, depending on the size of the organization would depend on, you know, the complexity and the available resources to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes back to people, process, technology, which is quite an old adage, if you like.
Yeah.
But it's true. It still will always stand true.
Sure.
You have to have the right people, you have to have the right process, and you have to have the right technology. So you might say you've got the right technology with Salesforce. Have you got the right processes? And it's not just about the processes that you're going to bed into Salesforce. It's about how you deliver it from an agile perspective. So,
yeah,
look, it really does depend on a number of different factors in terms of whether you can deliver successfully using it.
Sure. So over the years, since 2011, how have you seen, we know the platforms evolved.
Yeah.
But how have you seen projects evolve? I guess in terms of scale, complexity, you know, what actually, what values delivered at the end of them, I would say as well.
Yeah, so I mean, back in mid 2011, we had a couple of clouds, sales and service.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was, I guess, fairly standard implementation methodology back then. And to be honest with you, because the implementations were quite small, it was sort of neither here nor there whether you're using Agile or Waterfall, because the implementations largely were fairly rapid.
Sure.
Anyway, now that's always been the mantra of Salesforce in terms of we can get you up and running quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to overbake your implementation and what have you, which is, again, part of the Salesforce mantra.
Yeah.
It takes not code
time. Sure.
But over the years, I think the factors that have influenced the complexity and the scale of implementations are obviously multi-cloud now, how powerful the platform is in terms of its end-to-end functionality. And then, of course, again, the ability for an organization itself to be able to harness that power. So the combination, I think, of a customer itself, there's really three pieces to this in terms of this jigsaw, if you like, in terms of successful outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Customer itself in terms of how they operate and their own team and their own level of maturity. Typically, you'll be using a partner, whether a strategic partner or a tactical partner, in some instances, both. And then you could also be using Salesforce professional services also to be able to deliver some more complex parts of it that you want to make sure get done properly.
Yeah.
So those three pieces need to come together very cohesively,
mm-hmm.
which means you need to be able to manage that process very clearly.
Yeah.
To get a good outcome.
Sure. Okay, cool. And I hear people say, like I've been in the ecosystem for 2015, I think I first moved across. And ever since then, I've seen projects getting bigger and, you know, truly enterprise level projects now.
Yeah.
It, like in 2011, the old story around people buying it on their credit card, it sat in sales. Was that like the norm? Was that the typical kind of client?
Yeah, it was fairly normal. I have to say. And I think because even back then, you know, Salesforce has been around since 1999 and evolved quite heavily over that time. When I certainly came into the ecosystem over 8 years ago, there was a tendency for customers, individuals in organizations to put Salesforce on their credit card type situation.
Yeah.
Because they could see a better way of doing things. And sure. So what started to evolve early on was really, you know, a necessity is the mother of invention. So when an organization or an individual in an organization can see that spreadsheets are becoming quite outdated and the customers can't be managed properly and things are falling through the gaps and there's a better way, but they're not getting consensus from the board to be able to go and do it more wholesale, there's only one way to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that definitely happened. And, you know, over the years with the evolution of Salesforce itself in terms of the messaging and the maturity of Salesforce as an organization has come on leaps and bounds. And so that in itself, with the increasing maturity of organizations and the combination of those two things, has led to where we are today with much grander and much more successful, literally digital transformations.
Yeah, I was going to bring me on to the digital transformation piece, because I guess back then it was just a platform that was plugged in to help them achieve an outcome, whereas now Salesforce is quite often the tool that drives a digital transformation. So has that been the buzzwords, and has the digital transformation term kind of adapted along the growth of Salesforce?
Yeah, I think to some degree, yeah. I think there's definitely been some symbiosis between Salesforce and its messaging to the market with transforming an organization.
Sure.
I think that's in parallel with a lot of other critical thinking around not only the Salesforce ecosystem, but the broader ecosystem and the broader community in terms of what organizations need to do to bring themselves into the 21st century and future-proof themselves to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So Salesforce has definitely played a very large part in that, in terms of, you know, the journey from the old sort of client server days, you know, or even mainframe through to distributed technology and even to today with DLT and blockchain, where, you know, it's going even further forward and AI and ML, and mm-hmm. it's really, you know, starting to really push the boundaries, and it's almost exponential in terms of the more we know, the more we can learn.
Sure.
So yeah, there's been a bit of a parallel, and I think there's, you know, you could argue that Salesforce have had something to do with that, you know, pushing that message,
mm-hmm.
but also they've been privy to it as well.
Sure. Now, I know, having spoken to you before, I know understanding project failure is something that you're interested in,
mm-hmm.
and I think in your role of customer success, you would have been privy to certain customers that weren't potentially successful with their projects.
Yeah.
So if we'll get onto the good stuff, but for a customer out there that's thinking, you know what, this isn't going well, or we've delivered a project that wasn't what we were expecting.
Yeah.
How do you get things back on track?
Yeah, good question. So I think the first thing is to have a clear vision of what you want to do. Without a clear vision, you have no North Star, you have no guiding light. And so you need to know where you're going on your journey. So first of all, clarify your vision and get buy-in to that from your leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller the organization, to some degree, the easier that is. But then obviously the larger the organization, the more critical it is.
Sure.
So align the stakeholder community on your vision. Then develop your strategy for Salesforce and any other digital products in line with your vision. Develop that strategy, again, get full consensus and full buy-in. Make sure you haven't left anything, no stone unturned, no surprises. Make sure that everything's transparent and make sure that there's a very clear path to the vision. And then you can start putting the more operational and delivery mechanisms in place to actually execute on that strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's where things get really challenging. You can have the best strategy in the world, but without execution, it means nothing.
Yeah.
And so that's where things really do get interesting. And that's where the people, process, technology comes into play again.
Sure.
With, you have to have the right people in place. Part of what I used to do at Salesforce was to assess the maturity of an organization in terms of its capability to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Most medium to large organizations have a capability, but it's not always Salesforce specific.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the technology and the systems within that organization, depends on how well-versed that team or teams might be in being able to adjust to cloud and SaaS technology.
Sure.
So there's many, many different moving parts, but the people piece is really important, so getting the right team in place and then making sure that the delivery mechanisms are correct, and we come back to agile and agile ways of working potentially.
Yeah.
And then obviously making sure that that strategy is adhered to through the delivery.
Sure. So from your experience, is it ever too late with the project?
Well, I wouldn't say it's too late, but I think what has and can happen is an organization can invest an awful lot of time and money and energy into an initiative. And if it does fall apart for whatever reason, there may not be an appetite to put the wheels back on the train kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is a very, it really does come down to the people in the organization, the leadership within a particular organization in terms of whether they are prepared to go through the motions again. Because the things I've just mentioned in terms of good governance, having a vision, having a strategy, having good delivery capability, executing properly, those things are typically not in place, any combination of them, which is why projects fail.
Sure.
So what it means is re-educating organizations to deliver in that way. And sometimes that can be too high of a mountain to climb.
Sure.
For them.
Yeah, depending on how deep you are into it, I guess.
Precisely. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so aside from vision, because and that is the big one, I guess, so I'm putting you on the spot here. But a program manager, program director, project manager, depending on the size of the, what's day one, how do they kind of set the project up for success?
Yeah. So I think the key thing is to get a good assessment of the landscape in terms of who are the stakeholders. You need to interview the stakeholders. You need to make sure that you connect with people and make sure that you understand what people expect from a particular initiative.
Mm-hmm. So does the stakeholder set the vision, or does the project manager tease that vision out?
So the vision is not necessarily set by the stakeholder community, but typically what will happen is someone in an organization will initiate a project. Someone in an organization in a senior leadership team will initiate whether it's the introduction of a new product like Salesforce or you know, aligned with where the company needs to go.
Yeah.
So there's the vision for Salesforce, but then there's the organizational vision.
Sure.
Which obviously, you know, gives rise to other initiatives.
Yeah.
Such as it. But for the program director or manager, the important thing is to understand what the expectations are of people, understand what's in place already in terms of, do they have a vision? What is it? Is everybody bought into it? Sometimes there's no vision. So you have to create the vision, and you work with the stakeholders and the sponsor to do that.
Yeah.
And then from there, you're able to bring people on a journey. And it's all about hearts and minds, Ben, because if people don't believe in something, they won't get involved.
Sure.
And they won't get on it.
Yeah.
And so you have to bring people on a journey, which means you have to sell that vision.
Sure.
That's why it's so important.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. So I know a lot of the AEs, great bunch, but I feel that sometimes customers don't know how to work with them and how to really, you know, get the most out of that relationship aside from just buying licenses.
Mm.
So from having been on the other side, not an AE, but seeing how that relationship works, how can a customer really drive that for a beneficial relationship between the two parties?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen cases where AEs are really good at communicating to customers the breadth and depth of what is available to them through the Salesforce ecosystem. And it doesn't just end with Salesforce either, because there's a lot of partners and recruiters, like, you know, you're doing a great job of this in terms of, you know, the sort of workshops and stuff that you're doing. So the ecosystem has grown to the point where there's many, many resources available. But just in terms of what the AE can bring to a customer, I think it's transparency around really what is available to customers.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's missed, then you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So I think the key is to make sure that there's complete transparency and a complete map for customers, like a roadmap of what does customer success look like?
Yeah.
Which there is, in fact. So it just needs to be communicated by the AE, and sure. Then they can join the dots after that.
Okay, yeah, cool. And life at Salesforce, so you spent a number of years there. I'm guessing if it wasn't a good place to work, you wouldn't have been there for so long. But we speak to a lot of people that have that desire to get into, what people call the mothership.
yeah.
I don't know if that's the right term. But
okay,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, so what's it like?
Yeah, it's an amazing organization on several different fronts. I think what appeals to a lot of people, and certainly appealed to me when I first joined Salesforce, was the philanthropic side of it. And the 1-1-1 model that Salesforce developed right at the beginning of their journey is just, nobody had ever seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was groundbreaking.
Sure.
Mark Benioff used to joke in earlier Dreamforces about how, as a small company with really no revenue and hardly any people and not much time, that 1% of each of those wasn't really much.
Yeah.
It didn't take much organizing.
But of course now
yeah. it's a completely different animal.
Sure.
But it's fantastic. So I think there's that element of it. The Ohana, in terms of, the Hawaiian theme that runs through the blood of Salesforce, is true. I mean, it is a very family oriented organization in terms of bringing people together,
mm-hmm.
and very inclusive in terms of making people feel welcome.
Yeah.
And that applies to not just Salesforce itself, but the entire ecosystem. Again, one of Benny's favorite quotes: "The business of business is to make the world a better place." Right, something like that.
Yeah, along those lines.
Maybe you've got it a little bit wrong, but it's along those lines.
Sure.
Right? And so I think the right it's absolutely the right ethos from a business perspective, and delivers a lot of value on all fronts. So yeah, look, if anybody wants to get into Salesforce, it's an absolutely amazing organization to work for, and probably will set you up for the rest of your career if you do it properly.
Sure.
Yeah.
So what still excites you about this ecosystem, aside from everything Salesforce does, but from more of a, I guess, platform, or what you're seeing and the outcomes companies are achieving with the platform level, what kind of keeps you excited?
Yeah, look, I think there's so much that's coming. I mean, if I look back over the last 8 years since I first got involved, actually, it's probably more like 10 years since I've been involved with Salesforce in some shape or form. But over that period of time, the platform's grown exponentially. Also, technology generally has advanced so much as well in the last 10 years. Salesforce typically present things in terms of decades, the decade of mainframes, the
yeah.
decade of client servers, and so on and so forth. And here we are a decade later with AI and ML on the forefront of society. I my mind boggles as to what can be done next with the platform and what's coming.
Sure.
But I think that's what I'm excited about, because nobody can really put their finger on it.
Yeah.
And Salesforce is a really smart organization. We all talk about following industry trends, but it's a different story when you're shaping them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they are the trailblazers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for me, just the same. It's every week there seems to be a new thing, a new direction. But, well, no new direction, but something that's helping towards the direction, right?
Absolutely.
All the acquisitions, I don't think anyone can predict what's next.
No.
And that's what's exciting. So.
Yeah.
So do you, if people wanted to hear more about you or kind of your journey, where do you, online, where do you hang out?
I tend not to,
okay.
But always open to people connecting through LinkedIn,
sure.
and, Facebook or Instagram or whatever. But
yeah.
One of the things I think is important for anyone who's encountered a journey like mine is to be able to share that with
yeah.
other people. So always open to people want to pick my brain. LinkedIn's probably the best place to go.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll be sure to share that on the post. But thank you very much. I've really enjoyed the chat. I think a lot of people will get a lot of value from that. So, yeah, thank you.
Terrific. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it too. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.